how has this affected your employees? You know, what are your percentages down? Things like that. So we've had a pretty open discussion with quite a few business owners on just where everybody sits. And I can tell you, it's not good.
This is Can Do, a podcast that explores the business lessons essential for success in these volatile times. Can Do shares the insight of industry experts, along with the experiences and advice of local businessmen and businesswomen. Whether you're a business owner, an entrepreneur, or your career is affected by the current economic climate, these lessons will give you the guidance you need to make informed decisions about your future. I'm your host, Arnie Sherman. The American restaurant industry is in free fall. As a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, over 110,000 restaurants have closed nationwide. That's one out of every six, and there is likely more to come. Those restaurants that remain open are struggling with financial sustainability as they face an industry-wide loss of $240 billion in sales for 2020. Today on Can Do, we will explore this subject with two industry pros in two very different positions. Pearl Cash is an award-winning chef and a 45-year veteran of the Montana restaurant scene. However, Pearl plans to retire in 2021. Kyle Riggs simultaneously opened a new bar and restaurant and a new speakeasy-style venue in downtown Missoula this past May. With over two decades of experience in the industry, he now faces his greatest challenge yet. How are restaurants coping with dynamic health and safety regulations? What operational adjustments have been made and how long will they last? What will the industry look like in the future and what can customers expect? This and much more on today's episode of Can Do. Support for this episode of Can Do is provided by the Dennis and Phyllis Washington Foundation, dedicated to investing in people to improve the quality of their lives. Additional support comes from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. And Parsons, Bailey & Latimer, a regional law firm with national expertise, representing the interests of Montana entrepreneurs and businesses. More information at ParsonsBailey.com. Pearl, Kyle, welcome to the show today. Pearl, will you tell our listeners a little about your background?
Well, my background is really sort of odd but simple. It was like the song, you know, I was just kind of born this way. Went to France and fell madly in love with what they do there, with the food, the attitude toward food. Came back and dived right in with the audacity that someone who's 20 years old can do.
And you've meandered from working in restaurants to owning restaurants to now contemplating retiring in 2021. How would you sum up this past 45 years?
What a ride. I always say that people will ask me, what's it like owning a restaurant? And I'll say, you have moments of pure joy, followed by moments of just complete despair. And That's how it seems to me.
As you were leaving the industry in 2021 to pursue other things, has the COVID pandemic played a role in the timing of that?
No. This was the plan before that ever happened. You know, it came right out of the blue, of course, for all of us. And so it was like, you know, turn 65, that's what you start thinking about, right? You're like, okay, you know, how do I want to spend the next healthy, hopefully, decade or decades, maybe. And then it's like a now or never situation. If I want to do this, if I want to go hike the Dolomites, I'm going to have to do it now. I can't piddle around and wait till I'm 90.
Kyle, tell me a little bit about your history.
I was born into the service industry, would be a good way to put it. I grew up with a father that did sales for Metal Gold Dairies, and have just been kind of passed from, you know, around from restaurant to restaurant. I actually managed my first restaurant when I was 19 years old and moved on after that. And I spent just short of 18 years as the general manager of a business called the Iron Horse here in downtown Missoula, Montana, and really kind of honed my craft of, I'm a beverage expert. It's what I do. And so I had learned everything I could about spirits and beers and things like that. And in 2014, I took a trip to Napa Valley. I have a lot of family down that way. And I really kind of fell in love with it. And I said, you know, I need to sort of recreate who I am. I've been doing the same thing for a long time and kind of went to like look for that new direction. And in 2016, I went to school at the Napa Valley Wine Academy and did what's called the Wine and Spirits Education Trust, or WSET. It's kind of the gold standard of beverage experts. And so completed all the way up to level 3. So I'm an advanced level sommelier in wine and spirits. And I had basically decided, you know, I'm in a dead end where I'm at, and I need to find something new, and this is how I'm going to change my life. And I thought I was going to find this amazing career, and I was going to do all of these amazing things as soon as I was done at the Napa Valley Wine Academy. And I couldn't find a job. I couldn't get anywhere. It was a hard world to break into. Couldn't get anywhere. And somebody gave me some really amazing advice in my time as the general manager at the Iron Horse, and that was that I had been there too long. And that I was never going to figure out who I was or get where I wanted to be if I stayed there. And so I came back from vacation and I quit my job in 2018, just quit. And said, I'm going to take my chances. I'm going to cut this cord and see if this person was right. And I toiled for about 2 or 3 months and nothing happened. I could not find this job. And everybody started going, you have to go somewhere else, some bigger market. You can't do what you want to do in Montana. And I said, no, there has to be a way. Well, after about 3 months, all of a sudden, when people realized I was out there, opportunity just started to flood in. And I was offered a position as the sommelier up at the resort at Paz up here in Montana, a big luxury resort. And at the exact same moment, I ran into a group of people that wanted to do a rather ambitious project in downtown Missoula. And we formed what is called the Pangea Restaurant Group. So while I worked at Paws Up, behind the scenes, I was working on this really ambitious project, opening up two completely different concepts in one space. And it's been a ride, I will tell you that much. A year ago, right now, we were under construction. We were scheduled to open up March 20th. That was the week the world closed down. We finally were able to open up on May 14th of this year, and we've been living in, you know, COVID land. I mean, basically is a good way to put it. And as I jokingly tell everybody, we as a group decided it wasn't hard enough to open up a business, so we were going to open up two during a pandemic.
I'm going to get back to that with you, Kyle, in a minute. But first, I want to ask Pearl. Pearl, you've been in the business for 45 years. Have you seen anything in that 45 years that parallels or rivals what's happened since the COVID pandemic intruded on things?
Oh, nothing at all. Absolutely nothing at all. The downturn 2000, which didn't hit Missoula, Montana till 2010, even though it started nationally in 2008. That was bad. That was horrible. But this is just so much worse, because at least with the economic downturn, you could fight back. You could feel like you could do things and you could try different strategies and you could really, you were free to do whatever you wanted. And now, not so much.
In 2010, customers weren't restricted, but now you have all those other health related restrictions and you know, your customer base has changed drastically.
Exactly.
What other effects has it had beside the diminution of how many people can actually come into the restaurant? What other things have happened?
Well, in my mind, you can like view the whole human history through the lens of how we interact with food. And part of it is coming together in a space, hearing the laughter of people you don't know, seeing the twinkling lights, smelling the food. It's a big communal thing, even if you don't necessarily know the people in that room. And to take that away and have us so far apart in rooms with tables removed, and I have some teddy bears in seats right now, and which is charming for Christmas, but it's different. It's not the same.
How has it affected your employees?
Well, financially, obviously, that's been very hard. There were many that I have not been able to hire back with the reduced amount of seating, and they're getting reduced hours. It's hard on everyone. Some of them have left because they were worried about working in a public space with the pandemic going on.
You know, and restaurants like yours and Kyle's, a lot of the ambiance is the presentation and what you shared earlier about being in a in an environment with other people, celebrating birthdays and other events. And that doesn't necessarily translate into takeout meals.
No, it doesn't. If you're serving escargot, you've got your big plate, and then you've got your little plate, and then you've got your doily, and then you have your cute little crock, and your herbs coming up in your little toast circles. And it's just an absolute wonderful garlicky aromas coming up to your nose. But on the other side, it's just snails rolling around in a paper cup.
So Kyle, you have this grandiose plan, open one of the most ambitious establishments in downtown Missoula, maybe even in Montana, a restaurant, a bar, a speakeasy at a lower level, almost like two separate restaurants. You're going to open it and the pandemic hits. How did you react to that? What was your repositioning as a result of that?
You know, when I think back a lot on that, it was different. It's different for me than somebody like Pearl or somebody that existed. I actually kind of had this mindset that I would rather be opening up and being able to invent myself every day than try to be somebody who had to reinvent the wheel. You know, somebody that had like a music venue, for example, that their entire business concept is gone. So I've actually tried to be a little glasses half full and say that, listen, you know, we're inventing ourselves every day. As I jokingly say, it's the longest soft opening in history. And as far as how was I positioned personally, I think that I was better equipped than probably anybody else, unless they were opening a business too. And the reason being is because I knew what I was getting into. I've been in the restaurant business long enough, and I was about to open up something new, and it's hard and it's brutal and there's staffing problems and everything. And I had my head screwed on tight. I had my head screwed on, and I knew, I was like, you're about to go through 6 months of what could be hell. And so I was already in that sort of like kind of internal combat mode, I guess would be to put it, of like, you're opening a business and you've got to go. And so I think in that sense, it made it easier for me to sort of roll with the punches a little bit. And I mean, there were a lot of punches, believe me, but I think that maybe I was kind of maybe mentally equipped a little bit better than a lot of other people.
So Pearl, Kyle's talking about starting something new. They're not set in their ways. What kind of adjustments or what kind of creative things did you have to do or are you now doing that changed the experience in your restaurant as a result of the pandemic?
Well, I immediately said, you know, this is, if the customers shrink, the staff has to shrink. And actually I said, this is my chance to kind of do the menu that I've wanted to do for a long time. Not have COVID as an excuse for that. So I began a smaller menu, a very flexible menu that can change on a dime. I print it up every single day. The piece of paper is then thrown away. Everyone gets their own sheet. So, you know, I don't have to worry about sanitizing anything like that. But if I want to rewrite the whole thing every day, I can. And we don't usually go quite that far. There's some continuity. But I had this smaller, more flexible menu, 3-course pre-feast menu with a starter, a main course, and a dessert as the feature that changes. And I was able to go to the market, beautiful farmer's market here in Missoula, Montana, and buy all of my things all summer long. It was really kind of a fun thing to be able to do, to have that small, ever-changing menu that I had maybe been a little bit afraid to try in the past because the restaurant was so busy and I had a popular menu and I was just kind of, it's like a charging train, you know, it was hard to slow it down.
You talk about going to the farmer's market and that brings up the idea of local sourcing. Both you and Kyle are committed via your menu and your dining selections to do local sourcing. Kyle, let me ask you, what's happened with local vendors? Have they hung in there? Have you had to make changes? What does the supply chain look like for you during this opening period for your restaurants?
When we opened, there was definitely a lot of hiccups in the supply chain because the supply chain had basically been broken for 2 months. And so it was a lot of, you know, sourcing where you could get it. And sometimes you couldn't get this item or this item. I mean, even things like alcohol, because of the shutdown, everybody had gone to package, and all of a sudden everybody was out of beer. People were out of, you know, bottles of this and this. And then with food, once again, it was just a smattering of things, and it took time to get things. As far as local went, they definitely got up a lot faster and they were able to get things to us. And the supply chain for us, at least, has definitely stabilized. We've been able to get all of our, you know, local bison and beef and local herbs. There's kind of more people starting to show up doing local things right now. We even just connected with a company the other day doing fermented vegetables, things like that locally. So I'd say locally, they got up a lot faster and a lot more consistently. And then the big companies like Sysco and things like that, they definitely had to find a stable spot. The supply chain was for sure broken.
And Pearl, what's your experience been?
Very similar. If I couldn't get something, I just made another dish with what I could get. So that was kind of the beauty of that. Also the creative aspect of that too. I stopped myself from thinking this has to be on the menu.
So vaccines are now being distributed. There's some sense that we may be getting back to something like normal, maybe in the spring, late spring, summer. Kyle, let me ask you this. When do you expect things to be normal again? And what's it going to look like? Is there going to be a new normal, or are you just going to go back to what you thought you were going to be doing in March when you were first opening?
You know, I've done a lot of thinking about that question. And truthfully, I don't think that things will be normal or the way they were a year and a half ago for a long, long time. The guest experience has changed so much. There's people that haven't, that truly have not gone out. And let's just say the world does just, we're open wide up again in March. You're gonna have people that are still scared to go out. You're going to have to sort of ease people back into it. I think there's a mentality that exists with everybody that this is just the way things are. And so it's gonna be very difficult, I think, to kind of recondition the guest that this is safe and this is okay. Restaurants have been completely vilified as the bad guy. You know, it's like, don't go do this. And it's gonna take a long time to undo that in a lot of people. There's going to be people that go out and never cared in the first place. They're still going out. But I don't think that normal, let's put it this way, the way we had to do business before, like the original plan, it's not going to be that way for a long time. I think we'll get back up there in capacity and things like that. Social distancing will start to go away, things like that. But there's always going to be that thing in the back of people's minds, and it's going to be there for a while. So you're having to kind of wean people off of that behavior. The truth is, optimistically, I'd love to think that by March, we're seeing something that's resembling more normal. I think it's more realistic that that could be closer to summer. I'm optimistic in one direction, but I'm a realist as well. And I think by summer, we'll see things back up to kind of full swing, at least in Montana, at least in Missoula. The rest of the world, I don't know the answer to that question. It's just so out there. I really think that we can see some change, though, by March.
Per, what's your thoughts on this? For the industry in general, what do you think coming out of this it's going to look like?
Well, I think that a lot of independents are sort of hand-to-mouth. Their businesses are small. They're not capitalized well. Their bank may be getting a little impatient at this point, or not as sympathetic as they were originally. And so I think that there will be some small restaurants that definitely will not come back at all. Or their concept just wasn't there to begin with, and they just won't be back with us when we reopen. I think the to-go thing is probably going to be with us forever now. I mean, not that it wasn't before, but even more now that people have gotten so used to doing it. I mean, I never did to go at all. And so I had to figure that out kind of on the fly. And I figured out right away that people want the stuff they want. They don't want me to say, okay, here's this limited amount of things that can be taken up. They're like, no, I want my steak. So I think the takeout is with us. And I agree with Kyle that people are just going to be nervous and apprehensive about going into a restaurant for a long time. I don't think that we're going to see much by March. I would think it's going to be later than that. I think people are forever now going to be more watching our sanitation you know, in that aspect.
Will you require your employees to get vaccinated when it's generally available, Kyle?
No, I don't see requiring that. I kind of think that might be a little touch of overreach to quote unquote require somebody to do it. I kind of see a scenario where, let's just say for the sake of argument, they lift all the mask restrictions next month. Okay, great. There's going to be people that are going to be very upset about that. I think, once again, you have to kind of wean the public off of that. In my mind, there has to be a bit of a strategy where you go, hey, you know, I understand that we don't have to make our employees wear masks, but we're going to continue to do so for a period of time and then kind of take some next steps and some next steps. I definitely am trying to formulate a plan of like, what's going to happen now? Because they are going to throw the world open at some point, and people are still not going to be 100%. And there's going to be people on one side that are happy as a lark. And then there's going to be people on the other side that are being like, I can't believe you're buying into this, that you're not making your staff wear masks. I kind of have it in my mind that that's what's going to happen, is that you're going to have the anti-maskers and the maskers are both coming at you from both sides now. So I'm sort of mentally preparing for that situation as well.
Pearl, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, well, I've been really spoiled here in the restaurant, you know, wonderful customers, lots of pats on the back and all that. So in the last few months, I've been really startled by having some of this people pushing at me going, I can't even believe that you're open, even though your folks have masks, it's still dangerous, you're putting them in danger. And then I've literally had people call me up on the phone and say the most preposterously awful things to me, because we are having our customers wear masks because we're distancing. You know, that I can't believe that you're buying into this blah, 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 radical blah, blah, blah. So I just really wasn't prepared for the incivility that has come because of all this. It's really unnerving.
We are speaking with restaurateurs Pearl Cash and Kyle Riggs. Support for this episode of Can Do is provided by Montana Rail Links, committed to safely delivering transportation solutions to their customers. Additional support comes from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. And Parsons, Bailey & Latimer, a regional law firm with national expertise representing the interests of Montana entrepreneurs and businesses. More information at ParsonsBailey.com. So Kyle, tell me a little bit about the inspiration for Pangea and Stave and Hoop. Where did that all come from, and what was the genesis of your concept?
I've wanted to open up my own place for a long time. You know, resources were always my obstacle. In Missoula, Montana, and in Montana period, if you're in any population centers, it's very difficult to obtain a liquor license. You know, it's $750,000. That's quite a barrier of entry into something. I looked into some other projects, and you do the math and you get there, and it's like, oh, this all pencils out. We can do this, until you get to the end. And it's like, oh, we have to have $750,000 for a liquor license. This doesn't pencil out now. So I was really fortunate to meet the people that I met. My partners in the business are Scott Billadue, Skylitch Cisco, and Chad Morgan. They're the original folks who founded Liquid Planet Montana here in Missoula and had multiple locations. And this was their flagship building for years and years. And they decided that they needed to do something different. They'd been in the coffee business. And so sort of how I ended up linking up with them was via a friend of a friend. Knew I was available at the time. And they said, you need to talk to him. He knows the restaurant and the alcohol business. And so that was how we got partnered up. And about, you know, at first I kind of came in as a consultant, but then they said, hey, you know, this is working out. You want to come in as one of the owners and help put this together? And I was jumped on. I said, absolutely. I without a doubt. And so we went down this road of designing this restaurant. And, you know, the inspiration for Pangea, the name alone is, you know, it comes kind of from the Liquid Planet concept of what they had done. And it's the bringing of everything together. It's the culmination of everything. You know, Pangea refers to when the earth was all just one mass. And so this is all four of us bringing our experience and our knowledge and everything together. And Pangea was created to be this very modern, this very clean, this very sleek space. which has come in really handy right now. But we wanted to provide an experience in Missoula where you could come be in a place that didn't necessarily feel like Missoula, but it wasn't pretentious. It's a restaurant for everybody. You can come to a clean restaurant and you can still get a Bud Light and you can still get a $30 glass of wine if you want and everything in between. And that was the concept we created there. And that when we set out, that's what we wanted to do. The second aspect of it, Stave and Hoop, the speakeasy underneath, where the name comes from that, is the basement was originally whiskey barrel storage for Garden City Liquor and Bottling Company from 1896 until 1918. So it's kind of paying homage to them. A stave is what makes up the oak barrel, and the hoop is what holds it together. So that hence the name Stave and Hoop. And I had always wanted to open up, for probably about 7 or 8 years when this concept was sort of born in bigger cities, I really thought that that speakeasy, that underground speakeasy concept was something that would work amazing in Missoula. So I'd wanted to do it for quite some time. So when I met Scott, Chad, and Skyla, and we started to hash this out, and I saw this basement, I went, this is where my speakeasy goes. This is it right here. This is, I couldn't have lucked out more to run into them and end up with, like, literally probably the most amazing space in downtown Missoula. So we did most of the design, and the concept was the four of us all working together. I'm fortunate enough to also have a mother that did commercial interior design, and we pulled her out of retirement a little bit. But yeah, it was just basically sort of the stars aligning and ending up with the right space and the right people. And once again, I took that leap of faith and I landed.
Pearl, it seems that Missoula is changing now more than it has in previous decades. We have a technology boom going on, and as a result of COVID, there are a lot of outside people moving into Montana from California, from the East Coast, from the West Coast. We see that reflected in our housing market. How has that affected the restaurant business?
I think it's been good for my kind of restaurant business for sure. I mean, people, I guess I was never really used to people looking at the menu and going, oh my gosh, your prices are so reasonable. Your wine list is so reasonable. I was always used to kind of the other end of the thing, like, why would anyone want to go there? It's so expensive. So it was nice to have that aspect of it change. With that aspect, I think the people are more particular in unusual ways to me than not as easygoing. I guess they are not as easygoing. They have more interesting dietary restrictions and interesting, you know, food prejudices that I also was not really accustomed to having to deal with on a constant basis.
Let me ask both of you this. Have you, either of you, availed yourself of the COVID CARE Act funding to help underwrite your operations? Kyle?
Yes, we did. We did get approved for some dollars. And then we also, there's been a second round for people that were approved under the CARES Act that they actually just did in Missoula County. Missoula County released some funds, and it was only for 25 people, if I remember correctly. And you had to apply like right there on the spot, and you had to meet certain criteria. So we actually qualified for one of those grants. We actually just found out today we qualified for one of those grants. So we've definitely had a little help here and there, nothing huge. That second round that came through the state that Governor Bullock had released, and I think you could get up to like $10,000, that dollar amount dropped down to, I think, seven or something just above, because so many people applied for it that basically the money just ran out instantly.
Well, the new $900 billion stimulus will have money available for restaurants. Will you avail yourself of that if it's available here?
If we can, especially because I guess I feel like at this point we can see the finish line. You know, it was pretty hard even, you know, a month or 2 months ago. It was like you were sort of in this dark tunnel and there was no light at the end of the tunnel. Well, the light's over there. So now we can kind of see something on the horizon. And so if we can get something to help us get over that finish line, then absolutely. I mean, we're not making money. Let's just be totally honest here. Any restaurateur that's out there that says, I'm just doing great, they're probably not telling you the truth. And so you're just treading water. And so if there's a way to get help to get to shore, yes, absolutely.
Pearl, did you take advantage of the CARES Act funding?
Yes, I did. And my goal is being suspicious that this talk of, oh, well, they're going to forgive anything under a certain dollar figure. I've been really suspicious of that. So I have tried to use very, very little of that. I've been pretty successful with my reduced staff, reduced menu, just sort of reduced little footprint. And of course, that goes along with the reduced customers, not just in the amount of seating that we can do, but how many people want to come out. So the whole thing has meshed fairly well. So I think treading water is a good way to put it. Just kind of paddling along through it. Not, things are not getting better. Things are not getting worse. Just kind of moving through it and hoping that things will get better in 2021.
How much dialogue have either of you had with your peers in the industry? Is there some ongoing, more formalized group discussions about how to deal with all of this? You're all in sort of the same boat, so to speak.
We went down the road about, I guess it's been going on 2 months ago now, when the latest round of restrictions went into place. We actually got together with all of the restaurant and business owners in Missoula County, and we formed a group called Revive Missoula. Revive Missoula's Bars and Restaurants, and which hashtagged out to RMBR, remember, that was an accident, but it worked out great. And so we actually ended up with some pretty open dialogue amongst all of the owners. Not every owner signed on, but a lot. It was 70 plus business owners. And as part of that, we started pulling data and we started talking about, you know, how has this affected your employees? You know, how, what are your percentages down? Things like that. So we've had a pretty open discussion with quite a few business owners on just where everybody sits. And I can tell you, it's not good. It is not, it's not great. There's people with stories where their business is down 95% from 2019. And everybody's definitely in the same boat. There isn't a story out there where somebody went, well, it's just okay. Everybody went, man, I'm in trouble. The city's shutting us down, but they still want their property taxes. So what do you do with that? So we've had a pretty frank discussion. Some bigger names in town and you know, things like that. I know their situation, and it's not good.
So as we end 2020 and move into the beginnings of 2021, has anything good come from this pandemic experience for you? Is there a silver lining in it in any way, Pearl?
Oh, my silver lining is sort of more personal, I think, in that I had given all of my kitchen shifts, all my chef line cooking shifts to my wonderful staff and had just kind of stepped back from that and was working on the floor. And this threw me back into the kitchen. And so I've been cooking and it's really, really been wonderful. And so I've enjoyed it.
Kyle?
The thing that really resonated with me personally, business, everything is, hey, you still did it. You have been successful considering what you were up against. And at this point, what I take away from 2020 is if I get out the other side of this, you know, we as a group, we're bulletproof. If it got much worse than this, you're not even open. You don't exist. And so, you know, it's that sort of survivor mentality, you know, that we went out and got in a fight and we made it. And that's what I take away from 2021 is that it's like I said, we're not out of the woods yet, but when we get there, it's going to be like, so what can touch you now? What's the next challenge? Because you're going to blow it out of the water.
What advice would you share with our listeners based on what you've learned this past year?
You know, the one thing that I take away from all of this, and it's a piece of advice that I just want to give to everybody. And it's a tough thing to do right now, but it's something that's paid off for me. And that is, don't be afraid to take chances. And I'm not saying be irresponsible. Every time that I've taken a chance in business so far this year, it's paid off, you know, doing wine dinners and events and trying to modify. I've got a lot of people that are around me that are just afraid to do anything. And I decided 2 or 3 months ago that I wasn't going to do that. Maybe more than 2 or 3 months ago, like it was this summer. You know, I had somebody in my life that really inspired me to be like, you know, something, I am going to take those necessary risks, because if they pay off when the pandemic's over, they're going to pay off 10 times more. And so the one thing that I just want to say to everybody is don't be afraid to take those risks. Do what's in your heart and do what you feel is right and do it responsibly. But, you know, take those risks. They will pay off. It's the old cheesy big risk, big reward.
Pearl, what's your pearl of wisdom?
Well, mine would be the same that I've tried through all the ups and downs of the restaurant years, different economic things that have happened over the decades, and that is just try and put on a happy face. Even when you're not feeling it, people don't respond well when you tell them, oh, this is horrible, how's the restaurant doing, oh, it's terrible. So I just try and keep up a positive attitude and say, oh, you know, we're doing great, we're doing fine, things are good, we're looking forward to 2021. Our staff has been amazing, the customers are continuing, you know, I say whatever positive spin that I can try and put on it and say it with a smile. And then sometimes you find if you keep saying those things, they kind of come true.
Well, with that, Kyle, Pearl, thank you for joining me today. And thank you for your insights and your candid conversation. I appreciate it greatly. I appreciate your listening to Can Do, produced by Peter Hoag and Beth Ann Austin in association with Montana Public Radio. For comments, recommendations for future guests, or general information, please go to mtpr.org. There you can also find previous guest contact information and content from all our shows. Listen next time when we will begin 2021 with a story about businesses that have found a silver lining to the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm Arnie Sherman, wishing you good health and prosperity.